Please join me in the reading of our Old Testament lesson. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and laid down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." In our second lesson from the book of John, John 1, 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom was Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and everlasting God, you have called us and are calling us. We have heard your word this day, and we ask that it would guide us. It would lead us, change us, and transform us. May we see where you are calling us and guiding us this day. May we have the courage to go where you are sending. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, things are not going well for the nation of Israel and for Eli, the high priest. Eli, in his old age, has lost his vision, and his sons, well, they're not exactly good kids, so to speak. God calls them scoundrels, and they think there's nothing for them that they won't do. They go and steal from the sacrifices being prepared for God. There is nothing beneath these sons of Eli. The author of Samuel says the sin of the young man was very great in the eyes of the Lord, for they treated offerings of the Lord with contempt. Then comes a visitor to God, from God to Eli, who tells Eli of the future destruction of his family, how his family will be cut off for what they have done and who they have been. But God also tells him that there is a plan for the future, a plan that doesn't include Eli. God will raise up a faithful priest, which is good news if you're not Eli or his sons. And so God has a plan for the future, and it's coming. And then we see young Samuel come into the picture. Now, Samuel had an interesting childhood. His mother was barren and went and prayed so fervently that Eli thought she was drunk. And she's praying and praying harder and harder because she wants a child. And finally, after explaining herself to Eli and him seeing the passion of her prayer, he blesses her. And this child, Samuel, goes and serves God. Now, Samuel continues that service from the time he's about that tall till he's bigger. Now, the problem that comes with this is he sleeps in the temple and he doesn't really know God. And God calls to him, "Samuel, Samuel." And he gets up, and who does he think is calling him? Well, if it's just me and Eli, well, I'll go to Eli. So he hot foots it over there like any kid, early in the morning, half awake. And he says, "You called me." And I always think this is a little bit comical. You know, if you're ever a parent and you have a child come into your room at 2 a.m, you know this moment that Eli is going through. You know, "Hey, you called me." What time is it? And you're looking for a watch or something to tell you what time this child has woken you. And he says, "Go back to sleep." Maybe he's not awake yet. But then God calls again. And Samuel, again, heads on in. "You called me." Eli, still asleep, still not yet awake and aware. And what happens? "Go back to bed, go back to bed." But then a third time, "Samuel. Samuel." Samuel comes running again. Only this time, either Eli has finally come to grips with what has happened, or he's finally awake. And he says, "All right, Samuel, here's what you're going to do." When you see this scene and know what has happened in the past, and what is coming for Eli and his family, perhaps there's a little nugget of doubt in him. "Why this child, God? Why are you calling this child? Can't you choose some other child than this child I am helping to raise to replace me and my family? Why this child?" But Eli is a good mentor for Samuel. He tells him to go back in, but this time to invite God to speak. It's never easy to answer God. It's never easy to say, "Here I am, God." As we look through Scripture, we see so few people of faith getting it right the first time. You think of Mary, who stands there as the angel is speaking to her, saying that she, a young woman, is going to have a baby from the Holy Spirit. And her response is what? Here I am, so let it be. When we see Moses at the burning bush, what happens? Moses is filled with every excuse imaginable, every out he can think of. Well, I'm a poor public speaker. And what does God say? I'll get your brother to help you. Well, they don't know me. I was raised with the Egyptians. It's okay. I've got you. He can't dip and dodge around God. And then, my favorite, there's Jonah, who the second God calls him, what does he do? Jonah, go to Nineveh. Okay, God, right. And he takes off the opposite direction. It's not easy to get an answer right to God the first time. Sometimes you have to have a fit and a start. Sometimes you don't always get it right. Sometimes you're like the disciples and your life changes entirely. Think of Peter, who was born Simon, becomes a fisherman, and then becomes the rock on which the church is built. God calls and we listen. Everyone has their foibles and problems. I love the book of Judges. Why? Because every judge who God uses has a huge flaw. Deborah was a woman. Ehud was left-handed. Samson. Samson wasn't the brightest guy out there. Just read that story. The fact is, God calls us in spite of our problems, in spite of who we see we are, because God sees who we can be, sees what we can do. Think about it. Mary's flaw was that she was a young woman. Moses was a murderer who was running from the Egyptian authorities on the lam, rejected by his own people. Every call from God has similarities and differences. Pieces that go together and yet are different for each one of us. When I was first in seminary, you know, everybody relates to this, that, or the other person. And everybody either relates to Jonah, maybe Moses, and there's usually one or two others. But all of us had a different story for how we came to that call from God and where God was calling us. The fact is, when you become a part of the covenant community, part of God's church, God calls you. Not necessarily to be a minister, an elder, or a deacon, but to one of the many ministries in your life. Think about it. Where has God used you? Where is God using you? Maybe you're not serving in an official position within the bounds of the church, but maybe you have a friend who is going through a rough time and questioning their faith, and you are able to sit with them, to cry with them, to struggle with them. God calls all of us to serve in big ways and in little ways. But there isn't just a calling to Samuel here. There's also a calling to Eli. Very easily, Eli could have gotten his nose out of joint because God has cut off his family for their transgressions. He could have said, God, if you want to raise up this kid Samuel, you find somebody else. You find somebody else, God. But God gets God's way, doesn't God? Somehow or other, no matter what our response, God gets God's way. We might try and turn from a call or run away. I'm sure Eli had second thoughts. But he still mentors this boy, Samuel. He still says, Samuel, that's not me calling. It's God. And you need to respond. You need to reply. You need to say, here I am. Speak, Lord. For all Eli's problems, for all his issues, he is still a very important person in this story of God using Samuel. Just as every one of these children has us as members of the covenant community as integral pieces in who they will become and how God will use them. Think about it. How do they know God? Because we teach them. When I look out into a congregation, I see a lot of Samuels, but I see the same number of Elis, because every one of us can help every other one of us in our ministry. That's what happens as a church. Think about it. You who are on consistory, how did you learn to be a deacon or an elder? Trial by fire. Past deacons and elders took you under their wing and kind of helped you out, told you what's what. Women's Guild, how did you know what to do and how to do it? You didn't just say this is the way. You learned and taught and helped one another. Women's Ministries, every group, every person learns from every other person. All of us learn from each other, from the greatest and least of these children are Eli's to you too, because they will show you sides of God you never thought you would see. They will show you who God is in different ways than you have ever experienced. Why? Why? Because God has called us all to serve. Now, I'm a bit of a realist, and I realize that in the end, there's an element of Jonah and Moses in both of these, where when God calls us to be mentors, we might not step up to the plate. We might hesitate. And like when we are initially called, we might waffle and question whether we're adequate. Guess what? None of us ever are. God will make us all as adequate as the situation requires. Do you think that I, when I was first called at 18, thought I was equipped for ministry? No. That was other people, other siblings. That was my mom. When I get up in front of a congregation, I know that God is with me for the only fact that I would be hiding in this nice little cubby if it weren't for God being with me. The fact is, God equips all of us in measure that we need. But we need to be there and listen when God calls. We can't be running back and forth to Eli, saying, okay, was it you calling me? No. We need to be able to say, here I am. Can we? When God calls, can we answer? It's not going to be as easy as picking up a phone. It's not going to be that simple of a task. But it is a task from God. May God be with all of you, hold you close, and equip you all for whatever God is calling you to be and to do. Amen. At this time, the deacons will come forward to receive the offering.